Jesus had provided us turn to the letter to Romans. I'll be reading chapter 4, verses 1 to 12, in the reverence of God, who he stands as his word is read. Romans chapter 4, beginning verse 1. What then will we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Now, to the one who works, pay is not credited as a gift, but as something owed. But to the one who does not work, but believes on him who declares the ungodly to be righteous, his faith is credited for righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the person to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless acts are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the person the Lord will never charge with sin. Is this blessing only for the circumcised men, or is it also for the uncircumcised? For we say, faith was credited to Abraham for righteousness. In what way was it credited? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? It was not while he was circumcised, but uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while still uncircumcised. This was to make him the father of all who believe, but are not circumcised, so that righteousness may be credited to them also. And he became the father of the circumcised, who are not only circumcised, but who also follow the footsteps of the faith our father Abraham while he was still uncircumcised. Sunday we were looking at the question, can we save ourselves? Can we save ourselves from the consequences of what is coming? We've looked at God's wrath is revealed against all the godliness of men. We see that people suppress the truth of God, even though God has made his evidence plain to everyone. We look around, we see evil increasing today, just as it was in the time Paul was addressing this letter. Paul even talked about how people suppress the truth, and evil just continues to grow. They not only approve of what other people are doing, but they promote it. We also saw that God will bring judgment. And Jesus is the only way to escape the judgment. The Jews will not escape judgment just because they have a Jewish genealogy. We saw also that everyone is guilty before God. And we saw that the law is there not to save us, but to show us that we cannot save ourselves. And then we saw, since we can't save ourselves, there's a righteousness that has been revealed from heaven, a right standing with God. And it's not something new. The same plan of God was in the Old Testament. It's not a new plan that Paul is presenting. He's saying the law and the prophets attest to this righteousness from God. And that righteousness comes through faith. And it's a gift from God. Now, Paul goes on to expand upon this. If it's not something new, if this righteousness by faith is what has always been God's plan, then we should be able to look through history and see God working that way that his plan is not by works, but by faith. And Paul starts with where the Jewish faith starts, Abraham. Abraham, Paul asks, what did he find out about this issue? What did Abraham discover? Now, if you're a fan of mysteries, you probably know about Sherlock Holmes. And if someone was to discover something that's been hidden, Sherlock Holmes could find it. Now, there's modern detectives and shows that are out there now that have people solving mysteries. And Abraham is the one they will look to be the authority there. Remember, in Rome, there were believers that had a Jewish background and believers that had a pagan background. The Jewish believers still think they have an advantage. They got a different path to salvation. And Paul is trying to explain all people that come to Jesus the same road. There is only one way to Jesus. And Abraham, what did he find? Well, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Then Paul goes on to say, now something that's credited to you is something that's given to you as a gift. It's not something you earn. It's not like your paycheck. You work at a job, and you get a paycheck because they owe it to you. But something credited to you is not something that's owed, but a gift. Now, imagine that you go check your bank account, and suddenly Elon Musk's wealth has been put on your account. And he has taken on all the debt of everybody in the United States. That's the kind of situation. Except our debt, we owe because of our sin. We are all guilty. And the punishment for our trespass has been put on Jesus. And his righteousness has been credited to our account. Even here where Paul is talking, he's using economic terms that an accountant would use. Our debt balance has been put on Jesus. And his righteous balance has been put on us. Not because we earned it, but because of God's love for us. Verse 5, but to the one who does not work, but believes on him who declares the ungodly to be righteous, his faith is credited for righteousness. Our faith credits righteousness to our account. Now, it's not just verbally stating, I believe something. It's living a life with that belief. Living a life looking at our problems and everything that God's in charge. Looking at Sunday at Christ Church in St. Paul, a Baptist church where it was suddenly invaded with rioters trying to break up the worship of God. I'm still in charge of that. Even though they were there for the wrong reason, they got to hear some of the truth. But we have rioters coming here, we'll keep singing, I'll keep preaching the truth. God's word does not return empty. even if people are hearing it for the wrong reason, still God's word is dealing with Jesus and the Lord's Christ. And our faith shows us, even in the midst of things that look terrible, as we come to a place in our country where churches are not even saved, from bringing the world into them to try and drown out the message of God. We see in the world that people are flaunting their sin. Now they're coming into the place of God and worship for our sin. God's still in charge. It's not a problem. God, where were you Sunday when all those rioters were made in the church? He's waking people up, reminding them the truth. He is in charge. Each of those rioters, each of the people that are flagrantly sinning, God desires their gift. And they spend eternity with Him. Because sometimes we can look through the lens of the problems and see, those people need to go to hell. But if we look at through the lens of God, those people need Jesus. Our whole country, our whole world needs Jesus. He is the only rule for what's going on. Now, we have to believe. The little Jesus is a little figure you can get. No. We don't need a little Jesus. We need the whole, complete Jesus. Faith in what He is making. Paul talked about, what did Abraham find out? Abraham found out righteousness imparted, imputed, credited, comes from faith. Believing what God says. What did David find out? Quoting from Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Blessed are those whose lawless acts are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the person the Lord will never charge with sin. Now think about that. Our sin debt is covered up where it's hidden from view. That's even hidden from the view of God. He hides our sin from Himself when it comes to, are we going to be judged? He doesn't forget it. He knows our sin. And He says He puts our sin as far as the east is from the west. Now, we can forget things. I remember one day I was looking for my pen. And I go, where's my pen? And I do it from one hand to another to pick up things, to look under those things. And I find it, oh, wait, it's in my hand. I forgot. The pen was in my hand. Well, God never forgets it. But He chooses to remember our sins no more. He covers our sin. And the person, the Lord, will never charge with sin. And that word charge is a mathematical term. It means to count. God will never count our sin. We're blessed in that situation. How are we in that situation? By believing in what God said He's going to do. So who qualifies? Who qualifies for this gaining the righteousness of God and having all our sin debt to away? Now, it's not like one of those things you might receive. You have been qualified to win this prize. But then you really find a win. And it only applies to maybe two people in the world. God doesn't have that kind of requirement. Everyone qualifies to be eligible, have their sins forgiven, and the righteousness of Jesus credit or debit account. And then Paul says, just look at Abraham. Remember, we already studied that if Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, when did it credit to him? Was it before he was circumcised or after? Was it before he started the Jewish faith or after? It was before. His faith came before the circumcision. Circumcision was just a sign showing a commitment he made. Abraham is my father in my faith. Of those who have Jewish background and those that don't. That means everybody in the world. That same kind of thing. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, known as the Hall of Faith, talks about other people that had faith looking forward to what God had promised. By faith, Noah built an ark. Building the ark didn't put him in the right relationship with God. Building the ark showed him faith that God said what God said he would do. And God let judgment in his blood. Noah, his three sons, their wives, and Noah's wife, and everyone who built the ark. Not because other people were allowed in. And not because they hadn't heard, because it tells us Noah was preaching all that time he was building the ark. But they didn't believe the message of God. Just like many people today don't believe the message of God, there's a judgment day coming. And there's only one way to be ready. Only one way to be saved from the judgment of hell. That's God's will. It's always been God's will. That we're saved, our sins are covered, and Jesus' righteousness is given to us by faith. Do you believe it, or do you just say, if you believe it, you're going to live a life. Dear Lord, I thank you for loving us so much that you took our sin debt upon yourself and you paid the debt for our sin on the cross. And you imparted to us, credited to our account, your righteousness which we don't deserve. So that on judgment day, our sin is not seen, but your righteousness is seen. Not because anything good we do, but because of everything we do. Because you pray us as your Jesus.